Are you getting those jitters? Can you feel it? Can you feel it? It's that first day of school feeling that's in the air. Welcome to the 2025 Pittsburgh Steelers season. It all begins today. Austin Bechtold with you. It's Pomp and Joe. We'll get it out of the way early. No Bob. He's working on golf stories. No Joe. I think he's in Buffalo, but Sean Myers is here behind the glass. Your friend City Limits, Austin Bechtold, is in. Sean, how are you today?
I'm swell. Now, it's the first day of school, you said. You have your new outfit all picked out? Because you have to look sharp on your first day of school.
Well, I made sure I had a shower, and I made my hair look all nice.
So you don't normally shower?
Well, no, I do normally shower, yes. But I made sure that I wore this nice shirt today that I have. It is the Statue of Liberty, because the Steelers will be playing in New York week one, waving a terrible towel.
Very exciting.
So I am getting ready with my outfit that I've had this shirt for a couple years. But all ready to go, Sean. You are dressed up very appropriately for the first day of school. You look like you're wearing something for picture day today with a nice polo.
Thank you. Yes, I try to look professional here, just like all the other producers, of course.
But it's an exciting day. It's a day where there's no more rumors. There's no more speculation. Everyone's expected to show up. Cole Holcomb, one of the first arriving players, just arrived at St. Vincent. The players will continue to arrive throughout the day as today's arrival at St. Vincent College in Latrobe. Tomorrow is the first official practice that is open to the public. We are underway. The 2025 season, with everything that came with it beforehand in the offseason, the Minka trade, acquiring Jalen Ramsey, quarterback rumors, Aaron Rodgers, will he sign, will he not? Justin Fields, would he return? Russell Wilson, what's the future of Mr. Unlimited? What ultimately happens with George Pickens? Bringing in DK Metcalf? What? What would the Steelers do at the draft? The draft will be here next year. Everything. TJ Watt. All the distractions to the side. It's now time to play the game. It's now time for actual football. As training camp officially begins today, and it makes me think a couple of things. But the first thing that I think many of you are probably thinking today as everything begins. Okay, now, what is the most realistic path for this team? Looking at it, with all the pieces in place now, outside of maybe an extra safety, outside of maybe another wide receiver, which they very well could still add, whether it be camp cutdown day, a trade during the preseason, or right before week one, what is this team's ceiling, and what is the Steelers' floor? Did they do enough to reach their ultimate goal, which isn't to win the Super Bowl? Sure, for all 32 teams it is, but the Steelers need to check a couple more boxes before they can reach that very large box at the very bottom of the sheet that you're filling out, the questionnaire. What's the ceiling and what's the floor? With Aaron Rodgers in place, with 10 new starters on this team. Of the 22 starters, 10 of them are new. Of most notable, Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf, Jalen Ramsey, Darius Slay, Juan Thornhill, probably for wrong reasons. Broderick Jones on the left side of the line, Troy Faltanu on the right side of the line. Interior of the line remains the same, other than Mason McCormick at right guard, James Daniels out the door. They have completely revamped significant parts of this roster. Outside a linebacker that stayed mainly the same, outside of parts of the defensive line, Keanu Benton's still here, Cam Hayward's still here, add in Derek Harmon. What can all these pieces accumulate? What can you make with all these ingredients? Are you making a nice pumpkin pie that can be shared at Thanksgiving dinner? Talking about, man, Steelers it. They might have a chance this year. Like many of us said with Russell Wilson, 10-3, after Justin Fields had a good start. Man, could they ultimately do something here? And then hell was unleashed on them in December. And while the schedule is difficult at the end, it's not the murderer's row gauntlet of 3 games in 11 days that it was last year. What is their ceiling record-wise? What is their ceiling with postseason aspirations? the absolute top level that they can reach is likely 12-5. Now, I am not predicting 12-5. I do not think that they will get there. But if everything goes right, Rodgers turns back the clock, a second year of the Arthur Smith offense looks pretty solid. I think that is the ultimate ceiling, 12-5, and you win your division, which would be, Sean, a significant upgrade compared to what people think this team will actually be. They could go 11-6. I think that's realistic to see. That's a real possibility, especially with the way that they start out the season, especially if they can start hot against the likes of the Jets, rookie quarterback J.J. McCarthy in Ireland against the Vikings. Sure, the Patriots have Drake May and they're at home, but it's also a new coaching staff and a young roster and an inexperienced roster. And last year was one of the worst in all of football, if not the worst. They might start off hot again and then flounder at the end of the season. I think that the floor is probably less likely than what the ceiling will ultimately be. And that's due in part to Mike Tomlin, experience on defense, highest paid defense. They better play like it. And a team that has significantly, as you know, gone 9-8, 9-8, 10-7, over 500. That's just typically where they are. Now, I could see that bottoming out this year because of a couple of different factors that we'll get into. The ceiling for this team should be at least 10-7, probably 11-6, 12-5 if we want to be very fortunate and win a playoff game. The sky would be winning the division and a home playoff game. But more than likely, Baltimore will win the division, Cincinnati, second best odds, followed by the Steelers, and they'll have to go on the road and win a playoff game. Ideally, you position yourself against somebody from the AFC South. So, Sean, I think that the ultimate ceiling for this team is right in that range in winning a playoff game, where the ceiling should always be to go to the Super Bowl or even to go to the AFC Championship and be competitive in the AFC Championship. But considering they haven't been competitive in a playoff game in the last 8 years, going to the playoffs and winning a playoff game will be a successful season for this team.
I'm going to be honest. 12-5 sounds like a pipe dream at this point. And I think if you go 12-5, you're basically saying that the Bengals are probably not going to have a great season, or that the Ravens are going to be shockingly disappointing, because I don't see your team going 12-5 unless one of those teams falls off by a decent bit. So to me, even if you do have a really good regular season, how are you feeling the last couple weeks of the regular season heading into the playoffs, assuming the Steelers are postseason bound? Because we remember a handful of years ago with Big Ben, they had such a great start to the regular season, but everyone knew that the team was not peaking at the right time, that they probably were going to flame out in the postseason. That's what happened. So as much as having a 11-win or 12-win regular season would be great, because that sets you up pretty favorably for the playoffs with a home game in all likelihood,
right?
It's all about if the team can peak at the right time and if they can actually get something done in the postseason. In particular, if they have a really good season, the expectations are you are going to win a game in the playoffs. So that's, to me, what really matters. Just getting into the postseason, if you're playing better at the end of the year, would be more important than how many wins you get in the regular season.
Right.
Because we know with Rodgers in particular, a guy of his age, you're going to be concerned, can he keep it up into January?
Well, especially think about that Bengals team last year. They got hot at the very end, ended up going 9-8, but was on a significant run. Like, I would have given the Bengals a pretty good shot in that final wild card spot against, who was the 2-seed, Buffalo? Like, I would have gave them, or I would have gave them a pretty good opportunity against the Ravens. Would have been the Ravens. Whoever they would have played, though, as long as you were hot at the very end of the season and you roll in with some momentum and you're also healthy, you have a golden opportunity. You have a shot. Now, part of that ceiling for me is also because I do believe that Aaron Rodgers still has some left in the tank. Now, a part of this ceiling also is a couple of different factors that you need to bank on that have to hit. And if they don't, it will come to where the floor is. Broderick Jones and Troy Faltanu have to be able to protect Rodgers at both tackle positions. Jaylen Warren and Caleb Johnson must be able to hit the holes that are created by said offensive line and be able to help power this offense that does not have much significantly, not a lot of resources to it in terms of capital, in terms of dollars that were spent on it. Sure, Jonnu Smith got a deal, and Pat Freiermuth signed, and DK Metcalf. Other than that, their offensive line, other than Sayamalu, are all on rookie deals. Caleb Johnson's a rookie. Warren's on a small contract. That's not everything. But basically what I'm saying is all the money is on defense. They need a little bit of some overachievement on the offensive side of the ball from a lot of their main producers. And Aaron Rodgers has to be at the forefront of that. But especially Broderick Jones being able to protect. If Broderick Jones cannot keep Aaron Rodgers upright, this is going to be a long season.
My question is, obviously, I think most people would agree Dan Moore was okay at best. It's not like you're trying to replace someone who was outstanding, even though he got paid like he was a pretty top-notch player on the offensive line. But what have you seen from Broderick Jones at all that would give you belief that he's going to be even above average?
Not much.
You're hoping and praying just based on the fact that he was a big prospect and a first-round pick, but his performance in the NFL, albeit out of position at times, has been so disappointing. And I know Nick Faribault in particular said, watching film back from last year, he was even worse than maybe the sense for most people just watching it the first time through. So to me, if you're thinking that this is going to be a good offensive lineman, you're kind of just basing that on hope and nothing that he's actually shown on the field, which would be pretty concerning to me.
Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding, here is a rundown of what's going on today's show. Jeff Hathorn will join us right around the end of the show as TJ Watt will talk at 1:30. We'll hear what Jeff had to say about Watt's comments, Watt being signed, and Watt, as well as many others, what they had to say on the first day of camp. Mark Cabali at 1 o'clock. Tyler Kennedy will be in for the whole 12 o'clock hour. And we're also going to try to squeeze Dan Zangrilli in at some point.
Wow.
Dan is down at the ballpark. He just sent me a message. We're going to try to get Dan in as well, his thoughts on the deadline, his thoughts on calling the action over the weekend and what he's seen from the Pirates over the past week. The floor. What is the ultimate floor for the team? Where could they, where are they going to potentially bottom out? If this is a unsuccessful season and a poor year, Aaron Rodgers is bad. The run defense that gave up 300 yards to the Ravens in the playoff game, once again, looks old, looks slow, is not able to fill in gaps. Patrick Queen is lost. Cam Hayward is huffing and puffing and seems like the only one that is able to corral Derrick Henry, corral whatever the ball carrier might be. Not addressing wide receiver two comes back to bite them. That's another possibility that could factor into this four. Jalen Ramsey and Darius Slay are old. Slay is 34. Ramsey is 30. He'll be 31 later on. Plus no safety replacing Minka Fitzpatrick. They've done some good things. They've done some bad things. They've changed a lot. They've reinvented different rooms like wide receiver, running back, corner especially, adding two veterans to go along with Joey Porter Jr. Gone is Dante Jackson. Beanie Bishop seems like, I don't know if phased out is the right word, but it seems like they're trying to acquire more assets. I feel like we've forgotten about Braden Echols, the corner that they acquired from the Jets as well. Like, where does Beanie Bishop fall into this? He's going to be somebody to watch for at camp. The floor for this team, Sean, I think is right around 6 wins. Like, I know a lot of people say, oh, that's blasphemy. You can't possibly think that a Tomlin team will go under 500. If Aaron Rodgers is the 41-year-old quarterback that a lot of people are making him out to be, claiming that Rodgers is shot, I still think he has one good season left in him, especially if he can factor into the Arthur Smith offense and have a good running game around him and be able to utilize play action. And if the defense that is paid the highest in all of football can actually play close to it or even a top five defense, which they did at times last year, but when the rubber met the road, they didn't do well enough at. The floor for this team, like if Broderick Jones is a bust, and we see it this year, and the team looks old with a lot of these additions that they brought in, and it turns into the 2011 Eagles, where they were coming off, what, a 10-6 year? They added Nnamdi Asamoah. They added Jason Babb into their defense. They added a ton of significant threats, significant pieces that had Michael Vick at quarterback, that had LeSean McCoy, that had Jeremy Maclin, that had DeSean Jackson on the outside. That team went 8-8. Could this team, that team was projected to go like 12-5. right in 12-4, 11-5 in the 16-game era. I legitimately could see this team winning just seven games as the floor. Now, silver lining to that, you know Aaron Rodgers is done. That positions yourself well for a quarterback. But that also would grow the streak to 9 years in a row without a playoff victory and further elevate the Heat, not internally probably, but externally, from everyone saying, well, Tomlin this time, the streak is over. Is it actually time? And there'd be a lot more flames that are coming up in the kitchen.
I think when it ends, it's going to end badly. You know, it's not going to be an 8-9 season when the streak finally ends. I think it might be, you know, to your point, maybe a 5 or 6 win season where everything collectively just completely crumbles. I think that's how I envision it. Will that be this season? I don't know. I bet we'll know by mid-October, though, right? If you're headed to a really bad season, we will see signs of that pretty early. Now, if you get off to a good start, I don't think that guarantees anything in terms of postseason success.
No, we saw it last year. We saw it in 2020 when they started 11-0.
I think you can define a bad, ugly season pretty early, whereas a successful season, it takes obviously the entire regular season and beyond to see that coming.
What would you consider to be a successful regular season, Sean?
Well, regular season, I don't think really matters that much, to be honest.
Let's say season in general. Who cares about what you do in the regular season? At all, what matters most is if you win a playoff game. And if they don't, it's a failure, regardless.
Yes, I agree. Some of that also is going to be viewed on what type of play they get from the quarterback position. Because let's say a number of guys take step forward and the defense is elite. Let's say it is a top five defense. But maybe Rodgers struggles down the stretch. He has a bad playoff game. They lose. You could build off of that knowing that you're going to have a different quarterback if everything else is living up to its standards. If the defense is good, the running game is good, you see some signs from the offensive line, and yet the weak point is quarterback, you could feel pretty confident that, hey, we're missing one position, albeit the most important one, but we're going to get a new guy at that position anyway. So to me, that would feel a lot better of a season than if Rodgers is decent, but you still have issues on the offensive line and the defense is maybe top 10, but not any better than that.
412-928-9370. What is your Steelers ceiling? What is your Steelers floor this year? Can they reach 11-6? My official prediction, I'm not putting it all the way into the bank and locking the vault, but I'm saying right now 10-7. Again, but I think it's a better 10-7 than last year, which might sound odd, but that they're better at the end of the season than they were last year, and that matters more to me. Also, what matters is, how do we see development in Broderick Jones? How do we see development in Joey Porter Jr.? How do we see development in Peyton Wilson, some of those younger players? Derek Harmon, who I feel like has been lost in the shuffle of everything, just because there's been so much going on, there's been so much to talk about. This is probably the fewest we've talked about the Steelers' first-round pick outside of like an offensive line. Well, we talked about Broderick Jones significantly and Troy Faltanu last year. I feel like we're barely talking about Derek Harmon, maybe because a lot of people think he's just a plug-and-play type of guy, and you know, you already saw the defensive line coach say, Carl Dunbar, yeah, he's going to start on the defensive line. He's going to factor in there. Fan Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net, and you can also chime in on the fan text line, which is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. 412-928-9370. We will hear from you. I also think about when I put my ceiling and my floor together, where I think the ceiling is best case scenario, like the sky. If they reach the sky, if they reach the absolute top, you're talking 12-5 and winning the division. I don't see that happening. You would need injuries to Baltimore. You would need to beat up on Cincinnati. You would need Aaron Rodgers to play close to MVP Aaron Rodgers with a wide receiver core that still doesn't have a wide receiver, too. Calvin Austin's good. He's more of a three. He's more of a slot guy. Who else is going to play outside? Or do they trust Roman Wilson? They like Roman Wilson significantly, but last year was basically a redshirt year for him. What is Roman Wilson in the NFL? We don't know. And regardless of what we see in the preseason, it's not really going to change much of my opinion, because ever since the Kenny Pickett era Steelers went 5-for-5 in the preseason scoring touchdowns, I try to pump the brakes a little bit, like MLB spring training stats. You can look at them. You can glean something from them. You can say, man, that's really good. Like when Jared Jones was dominant, didn't allow an earned run, made the opening day rotation, was very good for the Pirates before ultimately getting hurt and lots of bumps in the road that came with it. You could take some things from it, but it's not the end-all be-all. And you know that's going to happen, Sean, like whether it be the training camp darling you've not heard of before today or tomorrow or somebody that is undrafted or let's say hypothetically Will Howard comes out and throws two touchdowns in the preseason game.
That's going to happen.
Mason Rudolph throws two touchdowns. You know what's going to happen. Rodgers is probably going to play like, I don't know, one game, maybe two games. He plays one series in one and two series in another. Let's say he throws a pick and then Mason comes in and throws like two touchdowns in the game or Will Howard does the same. And there's just going to be so much drama would be included in that.
But there's a few aspects. I mean, a few years ago, I remember everyone throughout training camp was highlighting Jaylen Warren and they're like, they've got a guy here that can make the team and maybe factor in, and those turned out to be accurate. And then we heard a lot about Beanie Bishop last year, turned out to be a big contributor with the interceptions and a guy that was regularly on the field. We'll see if that gets scaled back this year. But yeah, we mentioned with Nick Faribault the overreactions, and he said people are going to react when they see Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball because he still has that incredible arm strength and ability to place it. And he also thought maybe overreactions at safety and wide receiver because people were desperate for answers there. So sometimes you see a positive and you can maybe overlook the weaknesses and say, well, they'll get better at that. But what we're seeing, you know, the strengths and the abilities has us believing that these could be the answer. So it's going to happen. There's going to be a young guy and you could project how he'll get better and maybe say, oh, well, I'm not too worried about the fumbles or the drops because he's going to get better. And you can project, but it doesn't always work out like that. That's why you don't want to overreact one day in or one week in or even after one preseason game.
I just don't think it's an overreaction to think that the wide receiver room needs a significant improvement and is probably their worst position group on offense. There's another that comes to mind. Just because what does Robert Woods have left? There's a ton of question marks in that room. What is Robert Woods? Who is Roman Wilson in the NFL? Can Calvin Austin truly be a wide receiver too? He's more of a gadget guy, number three receiver, play in the slot type of player for me. We know that Scotty Miller and Ben Skowronek are not those types of players. Plus Juan Thornhill, he's been injured. Who's the backup safety? Who is Juan Thornhill's backup?
I have no idea.
Exactly. So if Juan Thornhill
Some would say that he should be a backup to begin with.
Like, is Miles Killebrew the backup in that position? Can he bounce around and be flexible? More of a special teams ace and a Pro Bowler at that than anything. So unless they just hide Juan Thornhill or whoever it is 20 yards behind the ball, 20 yards behind the line of scrimmage, just like they did with Minka, which makes me think more and more that they knew Minka was pretty much done and they just ultimately wanted to not phase him out of the defense, but make sure that he wasn't someone that caused them significant issues in coverage. And you kind of saw it when they got in close to the goal line in games against Kansas City, games against Baltimore, miscommunication, fingers pointed at Minka. A lot of it this year is going to come down to Jalen Ramsey. And Ramsey just announced today he lands at number 66 on the NFL top 100 list. So the Steelers now have three players on this list: Cam Hayward, Patrick Queen, Jalen Ramsey. In that order, Ramsey at 66, Queen's at 70, Queen's right around 77, I think it was, and then Cam Hayward. Cam is not even like a top 75 player.
And he was pretty clearly better than the other two guys that you mentioned last year.
Yes.
Unless they're really expecting that he's going to fall off a cliff, which seems, I mean, what are you basing that on? His play is not really diminished when he's been on the field. It seems like a very low ranking, but these guys will use that as motivation, I'm sure.
Texter, I won't believe in Aaron Rodgers until I see him pushing a blocking sled. I can guarantee you that this year, more than any other year, there will be no quarterbacks pushing blocking sleds. What do you think is the alternative to the blocking sled, Sean? Jumping jacks? You think they'll do box jumps?
Oh, I'm a big box jumps
fan. You like
fan.
Box jumps?
Yeah.
We did a lot of box jumps in high school. Ton of box jumps.
It didn't seem to help make your legs very strong.
Well, then it didn't really help to change my vertical either, as I can barely leap off the ground.
So, some guys just don't have that natural ability, I suppose.
No. That's why we leave it to the actual good athletes. Brady Keyes, a texter says, is the backup to Juan Thornhill right now. Brady Keys.
Is he going to be the keys to the defense?
Maybe a mix of Tom Brady's keys.
You like that horse?
Mixed with Brady Keys is the backup. There's also a safety that a lot of people are very high on in Justin Simmons that could be signed in free agency. Because Blackman just got signed yesterday, the safety, in New Orleans to replace Tyrann Mathieu, who just retired. So Mathieu retires, one safety's off the board, Justin Simmons is still available. There are pieces, but I think probably, and another texter saying, how is Watt not a top 100 player? That's because it hasn't been unveiled yet. So that they're continuing to reveal all the top 100 players. Basically, they're going from 100 to 1. So it's only been Cam, Queen, Ramsey.
They do like 10 at a time. Is that
right?
Yeah, they drag it out.
So Watt will obviously be in there. But where's the ultimately going to rank? I would imagine top 20, maybe top 10 even.
Will he be 9 spots below Myles Garrett, like the PFF top
Well,
rankings?
PFF uses their next-gen stats and their odd analytics and whatever. Texter, Alicia Keys can provide the practice music for Sir Keys out there. I'm sure Chase Claypool would love that. The safety that I was thinking of was Sebastian Castro from Iowa. So another Iowa player. King Castro, who was an undrafted free agent that a lot of people are pretty high on, but he's kind of undersized, 5'11", 203. He ultimately could be the backup, where Nick Faribault is kind of high on him as well. But it's the first day of camp. This is a day that gives you jitters when you go to camp as a fan, which will be starting tomorrow. When you go to watch the team for the first time, it's the first time that we are going to see real organized football starting this week for the first time since February. And in the Steelers' case, for the first time since late January, but the way that they played, basically for the first time since the beginning of December, that we're going to see organized football with some hope on your mind, thinking that this team does have a chance to win a playoff game. I think it's an opportunity for them to be able to break this 8-year streak, to win a playoff game. I think that's within the cards. I don't think they'd win 2 playoff games. I don't think they're going to the AFC Championship in any regard. But I do think as they're constructed, their goal is to win 1 playoff game. And I do think that that's a possibility. Do you? At 412-928-9370. Our six-pack is brought to you by Bet365. We will hear from you coming up next on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Your call's next. Also, the biggest strengths and the biggest weaknesses. What rooms on both sides of the ball are we most concerned about and we're most excited about for this team's chances? Pomp and Joe are off. It's Austin Bechtold filling in for the guys on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan right now with Sean Hydland.
Runs on every play. Can he get to the end zone? He can. Derrick Henry. Touchdown.
The scramble is another run, I guess. So, yeah, every play's a run.
They ran 13. You and I have seen a lot of football. 13 plays, 13 runs. What, they exhumed Woody Hayes?
It sure seemed like that.
Well, they always talk, you know, a game like this, a chess match. It's a cliche. I mean, but if this is a chess match, two grand masters.
If I were a Steelers fan, the thing that would concern me just watching this first half, you're in the postseason. You're getting dominated. I don't see any fight. I don't see any pushback. It's one thing to lose XOs against a really talented offense, but where the hell is the fight? This is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
There's nothing. They're just going through the motion.
Will this year be different? That is how last year ended. This year begins today with Patrick Queen, the first official player to show up during the official media viewing window at training camp to St. Vincent College and Latrobe. Austin Bechtold in for the guys, Pomp and Joe. On Pomp and Joe, Sean Myers is producing behind the glass. One of the biggest weaknesses late in the season for the Steelers was run defense, especially the defensive line. They needed to add to the defensive line in significant aspects. They drafted two guys, Derek Carmen in the first round. They drafted Y.A. Black from Iowa in the middle rounds as well, because that was their weakest position on the defensive side of the ball last year, and it was exposed. Patrick Queen was not great in run gaps. Landon Roberts played pretty well, but it wasn't enough. They were not able to manipulate and shift well enough on the defensive line to combat the Ravens, who frankly just pushed them around. That's how last season ended. This season begins with questions around Keanu Benton. What will he be? And how ultimately will Derek Harmon play? But that's not the weakest position on defense this year. It just has to be safety. We talked about Juan Thornhill, and ultimately, if he will be the starter at safety, or if they will add somebody at Minka's old spot. Quindell Johnson, a safety from Memphis, going into his second season. He is only played a short amount of time last year with the Rams, got into one game. He is currently the backup, according to ESPN's depth charts, behind Juan Thornhill, with Deshaun Elliott being backed up by Miles Kilbrew, and it's Sebastian Castro, who also factors in as the extra rotating corner. So that answers that question, Sean.
For now, at least.
For now, at least. That's who we know is there. That doesn't mean that they're going to be able to answer the bell when called upon. The strongest part of the defense is clearly at linebacker. TJ Watt's back. Alex Highsmith's back. They have the best depth in a very long time at outside linebacker, with the likes of Nick Herbig and Jack Sawyer being drafted in the fourth round, who I thought was a really good pick, good value at the time. Sawyer's a good player. He's a strong guy. I met him in person. Big dude.
He was one of the most touted high school recruits in the country. I mean, he had a good but maybe not great career at Ohio State. Obviously had some shining moments, but I do think he's a guy that'll probably turn out to be a pretty good draft pick for the Steelers. Even if he doesn't play a lot right away, I think we're going to see his talent when he gets that opportunity.
Yeah, I'm excited to see ultimately how he factors into the fold. But the weakness on defense, safety, might end up being something that could hurt the secondary. Does Ramsey switch into a position where he plays some nickel and he factors in defensively, not just as an outside corner? Or is Darius Slay and Joey Porter Jr. your two outside guys, and you'll allow Ramsey to move around a little bit? What does that mean for Deshaun Elliott and where he ultimately has to play? Those are big questions that I have. The weakness on the offensive side of the ball, wide receiver is obviously glaring. With nobody else, Calvin Austin is not that defined as a wide receiver. What is Calvin Austin? Gadget guy, slot guy, solid season last year, took a step up, took a good leap, solid player, good returner, but is he somebody that you can consistently depend on? Can Aaron Rodgers depend on Calvin Austin across the middle? So that could open opportunities for Roman Wilson. Does Robert Woods have anything left in the tank? But I still think offensive line is significant, where Troy Faltanu missed a full season. Broderick Jones has not played left tackle in the NFL. Mason McCormick was thrown into the fire. How does he respond in year two? Last year of Isaac Seumalo's contract. Zach Frazier is the linchpin to all of this. He is an all-pro in the making, I think, and has stabilized part of the offensive line with questions mounting in a lot of different areas. The strongest position on offense, is it tight end?
Yes.
Like, I kind of find a hard spot to find the second strongest outside of tight end. Like, what is the second strongest position group? Is it running back? Is it quarterback? I'd say it's probably quarterback. We don't know what Caleb Johnson is yet. Jaylen Warren as the featured back. What is he? He's been a 50-50 guy with Najee Harris. I like Warren. I'm glad he's the starter. They made the right decision moving off of Najee and having Jaylen Warren be the starter. Tight end with Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith should be able to allow you to run a lot of 12 personnel and run a lot of Smith out wide or even in the slot with Freiermuth in close to the line. But their strengths other than linebacker, are not that strong. And their weaknesses are not the worst in the NFL, but their wide receiver room, outside of Metcalf, that's bottom five, at least bottom 10. Safety, they're right in that same range.
I think you can cheat a little bit here because you separate receivers from tight ends, correct?
Yes.
Even though they're really both just pass catchers. Could you then break the offensive line into the tackles and the interior linemen? Because I would think the interior line would probably be considered a pretty good strength.
No doubt.
Now, the offensive tackles, not so much. That's very much unproven and at this point probably a weakness. But I think if you look at it, like the three interior guys are a little separate because there are some pretty distinct differences between inside and out. I would say the interior of the offensive line should be a strength.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. 412-928-9370. Time for you to state your case on the first day of camp. Rob in West Mifflin starts us off. Rob, happy first day of football, Rob. Are you pumped up, Rob? Are you excited? Are you getting those first day jitters, Rob?
Not like you, man. I mean, you said you took a shower this morning, man. I almost fell out the chair when you said that, man.
Well, you know, Rob, usually I take a shower at night, but today I was like, you know what? I'm pumped for the day. I'm ready to go. Let's roll.
You got to take one twice a day, city limits. It's 90 degrees out here, buddy. But this is simple, man. It comes down to two things, man. It comes down to two things. And if anybody out there listening ever played football, it comes down to two things. Offensive line and defensive line. That's it. I'm just going to keep it small. Keep it simple. If they can get their offensive line together, they'll have a good season and keep Aaron Rodgers clean, run the ball. And if the defensive line can get those young guys to come in and play and Cam Hayward stay out, it's simple. That's what it comes down to. Because if that can happen on the defense, everything behind you at every other level makes their job easier. If the linebacker's job get easier, the secondary's job get easier. Because that's what it basically comes down to me, man. There's the offensive line and the defense line. The fundamentals of football, the things you learn about when you first start playing the game. You win games up front. And that's it, man. I'm just going to keep it simple. If those two things happen, the Steelers can win, I'll say 11-6. I'm not going to say 12-5. But I'll say 12-5. You know why? Because every other year, I'm not wishing this happens, every other year Joe Burrow gets hurt, man. I'm just saying.
Man, he stayed healthy last year, too.
Yeah, and anything can happen, man. I don't wish nothing, no injury on anybody. But that's what it comes down to, City Limits. Offensive line and defensive line.
Yeah, and Rob, those are the main areas, and I appreciate the call, that last year they got beaten up in the most. Like, Kansas City, Chris Jones pushed their offensive line around like it was a high school offensive line. Like, Chris Jones was like that five-star recruit that goes up, that's in, like, a double-A school that's pushing around Brentwood.
Like Derrick Henry going against, like, defensive linemen that are probably 50 pounds lighter than him when he was in high school.
Yes, and he's stiff-arming guys that are, you know, the sixth man off the bench on the basketball team and just completely going out there and dominating. That's what Chris Jones made them look like. That's what Derrick Henry and the Ravens' offensive line made the defensive line look like. And they've made some additions, and they've changed some things up, and another year of development and another year under their belt for guys like Broderick Jones, Zach Frazier, Mason McCormick, plus you get Faltanu back. There's reason for optimism, but there's reason for some speculation that it can happen. Until you ultimately see it, you can't get ultimately too confident. How confident is John in Wexford? He's on the Fan. What's up, John?
Yeah, I'm not. Mike Tomlin's still the head coach of this team. I mean, the reality is they're a 9-win team, maybe a 10-win team, and the caller before me, he's right. Offensive line play, defensive line play dictates a lot. That's why the Eagles are so good. That's why they want to eliminate the push, because they run that play to perfection and it can't be stopped because they do so well. And that play shouldn't be eliminated, by the way.
I agree.
The real key is Rodgers, okay? Quarterback play will dictate a great deal. I'm not putting a whole lot of stock into it at this stage. This is his last year. I think he's made it pretty clear. Who knows what he's got left in the tank. They have improved the roster. They've definitely given him some more weapons. We'll see how the defensive line looks. Hopefully Jalen Ramsey can channel play from his, you know, last 3, 4, 5 years and give them some sort of support on the backside in terms of the passing and defending the pass. But 9 wins, 10 wins max, and probably another playoff loss.
All right, John, appreciate it. It all comes down to the quarterback. Like, at the end of the day, we can say how much it matters for the defense, how much it matters for the offensive line. However well Aaron Rodgers plays is going to be the catalyst for this team. Now, he's also not somebody that can put a team on his back anymore. He cannot say, hop on, I'll take you to the playoffs, and I'll take you to a playoff win. That is not realistic for Aaron Rodgers at 41 anymore. But with a situation, with good protection, with a scheme that is catered to a lot of his strengths, and with a solid running game, Aaron Rodgers can still be a solid quarterback, I believe. Now, if those things all break down, the season will break down, the team will break down, there will probably end up being issues with, like, if they don't win, what's Jalen Ramsey going to say? How much chirping is going to go on with Ramsey? He seemed like he fell out of favor in Miami because he didn't like the coach and they weren't winning and he didn't want to be there anymore. What is Rodgers, if the Steelers go on like a 2 or 3 game losing streak, going to say on the McAfee show about the Steelers? Like, that is...
Have we heard, is he going to be doing that again?
I'm sure he is.
Yeah, I would. Also, with Ramsey, you mentioned that he wasn't happy with how things went with the Dolphins. It's not like they were terrible. I mean, they weren't good.
No, but they weren't very good.
But, I mean,
they lost Tua for a large portion of the season.
They were kind of around the same caliber of team that the Steelers were, I feel like.
Similar. The Steelers roster is better. The Steelers have better structure. The Steelers also play in a better division. But I think ultimately, you know, Miami has had their issues. Tyreek Hill, Ramsey, the coach is a little quirky. Tua can't play in cold weather. There were a lot of things for Miami that makes you think that they're kind of a worse team in a worse situation. But Ramsey, I mean, he's not George Pickens in any regard. He's a much more accomplished player, but he's also a flamboyant player, and he's somebody that'll make his feelings known. And Aaron Rodgers is in a similar boat. And if the season starts to go off the rails, I think part of it could be, obviously a lot of it is how Aaron Rodgers plays, but also how Aaron Rodgers reacts to it that can further hurt and further add water to a sinking ship. Here is George. George is in Ohio. What's going on, George?
Well, just wanted to talk about an ingredient, which you've already mentioned a couple of times, but not too much this morning. But I still think the offense has, besides Tomlin's presence over everything, I don't think Arthur Smith respects the talent he coaches.
What talent in particular are you talking about, George?
Well, I want to go back to last year and the quarterbacks. I don't think either quarterback was given a chance to use their talent to their best ability.
You think that they put handcuffs on them?
Yes, the whole season. And I think that's why Justin Fields didn't want to sign. I think Arthur Smith and he probably, I don't know if they got along, but I think one of the ingredients, because for the offensive line to feel confident, they have to feel that people like Aaron Rodgers, who personally I don't like, but he's a talented guy, has to feel like he's running that offense, and his offensive line has to feel that he's the general and not the coach, and that he can work to his strengths. Now, Tomlin is too conservative on everything he does. He's too controlling. I think Arthur Smith is similar in that, and they want to do it their way. And I think you got to work with talent. I mean, this is a talent. I mean, sports is based on talent.
Yeah, and I think, I think that ultimately they're going to end up catering a lot more to Aaron Rodgers than those other guys, and I appreciate the call, partly due to the fact that Aaron Rodgers had them basically feet to the fire. Like, Aaron Rodgers had so much of the leverage in this situation where the Steelers, if they truly wanted Justin Fields, they would have said, all right, Justin, here's the money that you want. You wanted X amount of money guaranteed. We believe in you. Why don't you come here? So supposedly, according to Schefter and a couple others, it was Fields and it was Matthew Stafford that were choice one and choice two before Aaron Rodgers was the third option. I don't necessarily believe that. If Justin Fields was the true option for them, they would have paid Justin Fields to be the quarterback. If they were in love with Justin Fields, they would have given him a ring and kept him for another year.
They didn't even play him at all down the stretch last season.
Right, they benched him for Russell Wilson. If they were so enamored with Justin Fields, they would have kept him. They would have played him. They would have benched Russell Wilson, and they would have went to Fields late in the season. Whether it was the playoff game, the Cincinnati game, after it was clear that Wilson just did not have it anymore. So don't give me this whole, well, they really liked Justin Fields, but they just had to let him go. Now, if they wanted to keep him, they would have. They would have done what was necessary. Matthew Stafford, you obviously need somebody on the other side to agree to the trade. And it seemed like Stafford ultimately didn't want to leave. The Rams didn't want to get rid of him. They wanted to rekindle that, and they were able to with a new contract. So they are all in on Aaron Rodgers. And I think that in part to that, they are going to let Aaron. Now, they didn't cater to him as much as the Jets did, bring in your own coordinator, bring in your own receivers, basically having a full sail say of what happened on offense. Probably had something to say about Robert Saleh being fired. I'm sure that's also part of this as well. So Aaron Rodgers is going to have some control. They're going to run some of his plays. He's going to be able to make checks at the line. I don't believe otherwise. Sure, Ben at the end of his career and Russell Wilson were not allowed to do that. The Ben argument I get. Russell Wilson, he just really didn't have it much anymore. And I feel like Aaron Rodgers is much more of a more accomplished player, more of a polarizing player, and still has more left in the tank than Russell Wilson did. And I think that factors all into it. Here's Chris in Uniontown. What's up, Chris?
I disagree with all of y'all. The Steelers are going to the Super Bowl this year.
Super Bowl, Chris. Why is that? Why did you book the tickets yet? And if you have, if you haven't, can I sit next to you, Chris? Can I sit next to you at the Super Bowl?
No, they're going to Super Bowl this year because Aaron Rodgers retired. The defense is much better. All they need is maybe one more wide receiver. Maybe. It depends. But they're going to the Super Bowl. Remember, Chris from Uniontown.